Creating six of the dusk. Brainstorming six of the dusk.
Brainstorming with Brandon. I'm Brandon.
I'm Dan.
I'm Mary.
I'm ready to try this again.
Okay, psychic birds. The idea of a little bird that you keep on your shoulder that gives you some sort of psychic, magical, or whatever bonus because of how it evolved is fascinating to me. The idea that I used was, you know, the one that keeps away the hunters. When it's on your shoulder, the hunters that sense for empathy or whatever, or emotion, or mind thought can't find you, and so you're invisible to it. But then I thought of all sorts of other birds, you know, ones that give you an ESP, that let you see when your eyes are closed. You know, a bird that does whatever, these different breeds of birds that you were on a planet that humans have landed that have psychic bird things. Where can we go with that? We need a plot is the problem.
So the way I approach things like this is I always look at, first I you know, do a little bit of world building.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to figure out, so you've already got kind of how they're used, but who's going to be most at jeopardy from this? And I kind of start just tossing out things like, so you're going to have bird trainers.
Right.
You're going to have bird breeders. You're going to have the users. You're going to have
right.
the brokers.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have a restaurant owner who has to deal with people coming in with birds that will poop on the floor. But,
right.
you know, so I kind of start tossing
right.
those out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm interested in anything in there. An explorer who has a psychic bird. Just a member of society who has a psychic bird. I kind of like explorer. I kind of like the idea that this is a frontier sort of thing.
When you talked about maybe human settlers who've landed on a planet
mm-hmm.
and have adopted these native things.
Right.
First place my mind went was, do they still work when you take them off planet? And do they then become a galactic commodity
okay.
that everybody wants?
That's
yes.
cool.
Or... Do they need a group collective in order to work?
Yeah.
And see, that was what I was actually thinking, is the discovery that, you know, we've got a frontier planet for,
mm-hmm.
for, you know, the better part of the last 15 years, we've had an explosion in the mm-hmm. proliferation, you know, the use of these birds. And part of our story is the discovery that, well, how do the birds feel about this? There is a bird collective intelligence. I don't
mm-hmm.
want to say hive mind, but, you know, maybe it's... similar to that, that up until now has felt like cooperating with humans and helping humans is
uh-huh.
good because our numbers are increasing. You're helping us keep predators away
mm-hmm.
by, you know, adding to our senses. But now something that you're doing is not good for us.
I want the birds to be animal intelligence.
Animal intelligence.
I want it to be animal intelligence. I'm just going to throw that there.
Okay.
But that's a very cool way to go.
Mm-hmm.
The animal intelligence things. I really do like the idea of, you know, can they work off planet? And maybe saying, no, they can't right now, but there's a lot of interest in, can we get these things to work? Or
so
things like
got,
this.
So you've got a trader then
yes.
who would be very interested in trying to get those to work.
Yes, that's definitely a possibility
well,
there.
And if you've got, like you said, the ESP bird or a mind reader bird,
mm-hmm.
then whatever galactic government you have, everybody's going to want one of those.
Yeah.
Right.
So we've got a couple of possible characters
mm-hmm.
there.
Yep.
So the next question to ask is, what are the implications of this?
Right.
You know.
And that's going to probably depend on the scope. I keep trying in my head to push this fantasy, even though we've talked science fiction about it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
For
well,
some reason, I just keep trying to push
to fantasy. Going back to fantasy, I love the idea that one person could have several birds,
yeah.
but it'll only pick one at a time.
Right.
And so they would have like some kind of a dove coat or something
mm-hmm.
where they keep 20 different birds and have to choose, you know, well, which one am I going
like
to slot into
yeah.
this mission,
uh-huh.
so to speak?
Yeah.
The other possibility, you know, you can only have, for whatever reason, you can only have one bird at once.
Yeah.
And yet we've got somebody who has managed two birds, and the second bird is psychically unlinked,
mm-hmm.
but will psychically link to somebody who's standing close to you and give you the ability through your bird to read minds. And
okay.
so we have somebody who has broken the rules
right.
and has become, you know, the worst sort of spy.
He's hacking your bird.
He's hacking. He's not just he's hacking your bird and you.
Right.
And he's got, the second bird is, you know, a little pocket bird.
Right.
It's a baby of the bird on his shoulder, which is why he's able to do this.
Okay, let's push this. Let's say more fantasy. I'm liking that a lot. What if
mm-hmm.
it's a new world sort of thing?
Yeah.
And we've discovered these birds. We could still keep the whole. We can't get them shipped. They die if they leave the continent for some reason. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there's that. So we can have that whole interplay. We've got the... We could have the thing be, this is guy's an explorer trying to figure out where this new bird came from that the guy was able to make work with the other birds or something like that.
Well, it could yeah. be just if there's a new breed of bird. If they're explorers, mm-hmm. there could be another tribe or a city or something off in wherever where they have bred this new kind of bird that none of the other colonists okay. are aware of yet.
What's our ending?
See,
we don't have enough of a story for an ending, do we? Or
see, I think you're. Yeah, I mean, personally, I think you're jumping way.
See, I build my books around endings.
Yes.
And you'll hear this when we did the things with you and with Dan. Mm-hmm. I was always jumping to what's the ending? Where are we ending? How's it
yeah.
going?
Yeah.
And I couldn't really see the story until I saw how it ends.
Right. But one of the things that I was asking when I was mm-hmm. saying what are the implications of this
right.
is that allows you then to ask how can it get worse, which I think then
right.
reads
to the
how can we resolve this? You know, what are the possible endings? Mm-hmm. And one of the other things that you have for me in looking at possible endings are, you know, mm-hmm. like what do your characters want?
Yeah.
And so for me, I feel like if it were me doing this, uh-huh. I wouldn't have enough groundwork laid before uh-huh. I could start jumping to endings. It's like, I mean, I could have, you know, the ending, the bird dies,
right.
The ending, the bird lays a double-yolked egg, and for the first time, people can have two birds at the same time.
Right.
The ending is that the avian flu comes, and you can no longer carry the bird because it's going to, mm-hmm. you know, kill everybody. It's like, there's so many different endings.
You mentioned avian flu. If our pro tag, she's a doctor,
mm-hmm.
and she's got a bird, and the bird helps her be a better doctor through mm-hmm. through recognizing the pain of the people around her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, she can more accurately gauge where it hurts, and is a fantastic doctor as a result. And we have a plague, a sickness that is sweeping through the city, and she is trying to figure out, you know, why people are getting sick, what the problem is, and we ascertain. You know, our ending is the discovery that there's a parasite living in the bird poop, and we have to, you know, we have to kill all of our birds.
Wait, no, that just sparked me on something else.
Okay.
What if what's giving them the psychic power is not the birds, but the parasite?
Oh.
And so the twist is we're using the birds like a parasite. You know, we're symbiotic
yes.
with the
mm-hmm.
bird, but this has already happened. The birds figured it out.
First.
And like... It's the worms that the birds go eat. And the story could be, these birds, when we first catch them in the wild, it's great. We get all these powers. But then the ones we raise
don't have the power.
And the explorers, they all think, oh, it's got to be something about the bird society. And he's out trying to find
oh.
them. And your ending is, the worms. And if we just give ourselves the worms, we could actually...
We don't need those birds.
We don't need those birds. But then he's like, do I tell people? Because the birds are cute and awesome. And that's a cool ending,
yeah.
I think, right mm-hmm. there. Because it lays the theme on top of itself
yes.
with the symbiotic sort of thing. And then you play that up in the theme. We've created the symbiotic relationship that people love their birds, but it's really the worms the birds have. All right, so let's explore this more now. We do have, in my mind, a rudimentary plot. This is mm-hmm. what's going to happen. This is our ending. And where that ending goes, I still don't know, and that's fine. Whether it is he discovers this or she discovers this and doesn't want to tell people, or, you know, I would want to work into it that it is a real moral quandary. But maybe we should talk about who the character is.
Mm-hmm.
What suggestions do we have? I like the explorer aspect. The question I... end up with is, I don't know if I want a solitary person out there talking to the bird, but maybe I do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the trapper that mm-hmm. goes out by
yeah.
himself is a, you know, that's a standard in pretty much every culture.
Right.
But there's usually some, instead of just having him out by himself all the time,
mm-hmm.
there's the outpost that he returns to.
Right. Okay.
The trading post.
The outpost. That's
there's
good.
There's also a dynamic to consider since you only have one bird.
Yeah.
If you give him a human companion who has a bird that does something completely different,
right.
you get
right.
to explore the differences between mm-hmm. the ways they interact with their
Or if, you know, he meets a trapper from a rival company.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're like, all right, let's work on this together because it's for the good of the birds or whatever. At this point with a story like this, what I would be doing, since we're following the process, I'm now kind of excited about the story. I'm like, ooh, I now am looking for extra coolness, right? Mm-hmm. I want, I would be saying, okay, let's look at my setting. How can I make the setting interesting and cool? What can be distinctive about it? If I'm going to have a setting, I don't want it to just be something generic. Even in a short story, I want it to be something that you read and say, wow, that's a different take on this setting. I want to be trying to do that with character also. The plot feels original to me. So where could we set this? What is this planet like? What could be interesting about
it? Well, lots of cool and interesting birds suggests to me jungle, at least in part.
I like that
jungle
idea.
Jungle or Pacific Islands.
Right, okay.
Which could be really fun.
Oh, that
this is
could
almost
be
an
cool.
archipelago kind oh, of a situation.
Oh, archipelago yeah.
Lots of
is
little
cool.
boating. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, this raises also the question, if we've got the archipelago and if the worms are something that can in fact infect people and give them the same ability, then they would be able to do that to other creatures.
Right.
So perhaps this archipelago is filled with poisonous creatures.
Right. Well, it comes back to the original concept of the bird keeps the predators from finding me.
Yes.
And that's why we started using the birds as we started to colonize this planet. We just got eaten or we sailed across whatever it is that it's going to be. I would probably shoot even for an age of industry in this. We started colonizing this continent and we just kept getting eaten by these big monster things, but they never ate the birds.
Mm-hmm.
And we figured out if we tamed the birds, the monster things couldn't find us.
Mm-hmm. Or you could take that symbiotic idea and say, the local chimpanzees always kept pet birds, which we thought was really weird until we figured out what was going
Chimps
on.
Chimps with pet birds is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So archipelago, I love the archipelago idea. Could I do bird fish hybrid? Could they swim and fly?
Well, there's that whole BBC documentary about the flying penguins on April Fool's Day. But
That was hilarious.
I don't see any reason you can't have, there's plenty of birds actually that are divers.
Right.
That are also flying birds.
Ducks.
Right. Ducks, yes.
But I'm thinking like bird of paradise that is like an amphibian. This is a fantasy or science fiction world. Could we repurpose, could we do that or is that just too weird?
No, you could do that. Why do you want to do that? What would you gain other than just, hey, cool
neat.
Thing?
I'm looking for
Which is
for
totally
neat.
Nice, which is totally a good reason to do it.
If I were going to do that, I would probably look at doing a bird chameleon hybrid.
Okay.
Because the psychic ability is all about camouflaging themselves.
Okay. Bird chameleon.
Bird,
so the feathers change colors.
Mm-hmm.
That gets into this is cute, which is also good when you're doing an animal story.
Yeah.
The challenge with birds as also fish is that fish are effective as fish because of neutral buoyancy. And if you're neutrally buoyant in the water, you fly like a brick.
Yeah. Okay.
But ducks with ballast bags.
Yeah.
There's a way to do this.
Let's abandon that.
Yeah.
Give me other coolness for this story.
Other cool things. What about other symbiotic pairings of animals? If the powers come from a worm that is here on these islands, maybe it's not just the birds. Maybe one species of deer always has psychic snakes living in its antlers or something. You know, there's different pairings.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, there is a good reason to do the birds as fish is because if the worms come from seafood.
Right.
So you've got psychic fish, which are clearly not going to be useful as pets.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, well, they don't have to be fish birds, but aquatic birds that eat a lot of seafood.
Well, the
and
problem
mucky.
There is that then this is, if these get into the ocean, I think it's easier to spread them around. They could potentially be all over the world.
That's a good point.
If it's land-based, they're stuck on this.
Yeah, they're stuck in the archipelago.
Islands.
And the question is, why haven't humans figured out about the worms yet? And the answer could be the archipelago is really, really dangerous.
Yeah.
So we go in, we capture a bunch of birds, we bring them back, they work, but the children don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool monsters also is great.
Yeah.
Explore cool monsters and
If it's not just an archipelago, but if it's volcanic
Okay.
So then you have hot mud baths, mm-hmm. you have swampy things, and you've got earthquakes.
Right.
And that can be one of the things the birds warn you of.
Okay. Birds warn you of earthquakes, birds warn you of volcanoes, and you take the birds back to the mainland, and the birds manage to predict the super caldera volcano in time to save civilization.
if this is an
sorry,
island,
the book just got bigger.
Yes. An island empire here. An island, you know, a bunch of islands mm-hmm. that are so dangerous. They're full of mm-hmm. earthquakes and volcanoes and predators. One of your cool elements could be that the civilization that's grown up around here is actually all water-based, like the junk cities mm-hmm. around Hong Kong.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
And so they all live on boats, and the cities can kind of move around with the weather.
Ooh.
And okay. it's only the trappers that can venture into the island looking for more birds.
Okay, cool. We've got a really cool story here. I'm very pleased with this.